Well, it is great to see you this morning. Great to have everybody here. We had a great weekend last week. How many of you came out to the sessions with Ken and Michelle on Friday or Saturday? Put up your hands. That's good. We had a number of people that were there and able to experience and learn from Ken and Michelle and receive, in many cases, freedom. And it's one of the things for us at Lifehouse that's always been spoken over us as a church, is that we would be a place that people would come to and would receive healing, they would receive freedom, because we would know how to administer that to people. And times like that are really important. It's why we as well have just been talking about what we're talking about for this whole year, which is really people walking in who they are in Christ, understanding their authority in Christ, and living that out. I want to remind you, if you're here this morning, and I want to also remind you, if you're here for the first time this morning, we're going to have, after church, a welcome lunch for you. So at 12 o'clock, we in the staff room, we've got some food, and today we're going to talk about life groups and being involved in life groups. And why do we do this? We do this because the reality is that church isn't just attending on a Sunday morning. It's being part of community. You know? And you're valuable. You know, every one of you here today, whether it's your first time today or whether you've been coming since we started, you're an incredibly valuable part of this community. You really are. And I just want you to pause on that for a second. God loves you. Jesus died for you. You know, Jesus, for the joy set before Jesus, he went to the cross. Pause and that applies to you. The joy of you being able to walk free, chains broken off, no longer chained to sin, no longer held back by the confines of what sin brings into the world. No longer chained to that, no longer chained to a reality of death. That's the joy that was set before Jesus that allowed him to go through the suffering and the pain associated with him going to the cross, with the whipping, the beating, the torture of that. Right? You. You. And we've always got to keep that in perspective. Because I'm saying you. Now, you know, think about the people around you. People here in the room. It's for the joy for them that he went to the cross. And what he set us free from, right? For those of you that experienced, you know, for those of you who were there, you watched people get free from literally the demonic in their lives, right? And we live in a culture that doesn't acknowledge a spiritual realm, and so we don't understand that the devil is constantly coming at us. Satan's constantly, there's spiritual forces that are constantly affecting people. They affect Christians, and they definitely affect non-Christians. Yeah? And we're always dealing with an enemy that opposes us, that is wanting us to live limited lives, to not actually live in the fullness of who we are in Christ. And we're dealing with an enemy that has been defeated by Jesus, but that still, even in his state of defeat, is still wanting to trip up God's children. He may not be able to remove you from the salvation that Jesus won for you, but he can keep you ineffective or living limitedly. And yet Jesus has this abundant, amazing life for you to live. Starting next week, for the next 8 weeks, we're going to talk about that abundant life. Yeah. But before, you know, as I intro that today, because we're going to talk about the importance of of how we live. Because the choices we make in our lives, they either give power to the demonic realm, or they allow us to live in the freedom that Christ has given us. We have a choice. You know, we're set free by Christ, and sometimes people need help getting free, which is what we did last weekend, and which we want to see as a regular part of our community here, that people that need freedom get free, right? Where the enemy's been able to come in and put some little chains on us and hold us back a bit, that we get those things chopped off. That's something that's so key for us. But that, you know, we would recognize that when we live God's way, it brings freedom in our lives and brings freedom for others. And when we don't live God's way, it actually brings bondage. Bondage into our lives and bondage to others. And man, when you process just how valuable you are, when you understand, you know, the creator of the universe created you, and grasp that he values your life personally. The one who could literally create a universe so vast that we cannot understand it also says, I know every hair on your head. I know it can be a tough thing to think about that. The one that created the universe so vast, when we don't begin to understand it. And he, that God, that creator, says that he knows you so well that he knows literally every hair on your head. And if he knows, cares to know the number of hair that's on your head. I always like to joke, he knows the number of hairs that have fallen off my head. You know, if he knows that about you, do you really think he doesn't care about your life? Like, if he cares to know the number of hair that's on your head, do you not think he cares about what's going on in your soul? He cares about what's going on in your family, cares about what's going on in your job or in your school or with your friends. He cares. Yeah? He cares. He's not just up there going, you know, here's my divine laws, and I'm going to sit here and judge how, you know, whether you are good enough. That's not, you know, we have these pictures, though, of God. What's your picture? Is your picture of a good father who cares about every aspect of your life? When you think about Father God, when you think about Jesus, do you think about an older brother that would pave the way for you? You know, older brother who's the king, that in his lordship, went before you, took a punishment for you, died at the cross for you, so that you could live in an abundant life in God. It's incredible. Do you think about the Holy Spirit as literally the living presence of God? The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, the same power that was there at the Big Bang or whatever we want to call it, at the creation and the beginning of the universe, that power that could create something so vast that lives inside of you. Lives inside of you. And I know everything, again, we live in a world that the Bible says Satan is still a prince of. He's not an authority. All authority's been given to Jesus, but until Jesus returns and that there's a new heaven and new earth, there still is a power. It's not an equal power, but there still is demonic power in this world. Right? There still is evil. Satan still is roaming around. It calls him the prince of the earth. So you've got Jesus, that all authority in heaven and earth has been given. All authority over the universe given to Jesus. But here, because people still have not fully surrendered to Jesus, and because of God's patience in not returning, Satan still has power here. And so, like I've talked about before, right? If people don't follow Jesus, they follow Satan. There's no third option. There's no middle ground. There's no, I don't follow either, I'm just doing it my own way. No, that's actually following Satan, because his whole thing was, you know, again, we get this, I don't know, horror movie picture of who Satan was, but the reality is he's simply empowering us to live independent of God. What was his, how did he get humanity to fall away from God? By going, you don't need God, you can do it on your own. You can be like God. And so we empower that, that's all over the place. We're constantly bombarded by those messages. We're constantly bombarded by those forces. And their whole goal is to prevent God's kingdom from coming about in your life and in the world around us. Living here in North America, 97% of the people have surrendered to that power. Where we go, they go, hey, I'm going to live by my own ways and my own strength. Again, they may not be openly worshiping Satan. They may not be doing things, but they've literally given themselves over to that power. And what that power is a power that goes, I don't need God. I don't need to live his way. I don't need to do things his way. I'm going to do it my own way. I'm powerful on my own. I don't need to do it his way. Yeah? Other words for it, I'm spiritual. You know, I don't believe in Jesus, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in organized faith. I just kind of make up my own. Or I don't need faith at all. I don't need, there's no such thing as God. And I share this with us, again, remind us of this, because we went through this time where we watched the reality of what the power of Satan does in people's lives and how he entwines, right, with us. And any time we choose to rebel against God, we're giving power to Satan. We're giving power to him. Not as a, saying this as a rebuke, saying this as a sobering reality for us. You know, because that's not the life that God has for you. He's got a life of incredible freedom, a life where he wants you to live in freedom, a life where he's like, hey, if you will trust me and you will do things my way, you're going to experience abundant life. You know, the more you'll trust me and do things my way, the more you experience abundant life. That's it. It's simple. Man, imagine that for us as a community, right? And I say that. I actually do imagine it for us, and I know that's actually what we want and what we desire. So that's why I'm motivating us that way this morning. Just like, hey, let's be those amazing people that exalt Jesus with our lives, right? No, I don't. When I say exalt Jesus with your life, that doesn't mean that you're like, oh, on the bus, I'm just like praising Jesus, and when I go to work, I'm like praising Jesus. I don't mean it that way. But then when people see you, they see Jesus through you. You know, the way you treat people, the way you interact with people, the way you are, it's like your life is a testimony to the glory of God because of him working through you, because we're openly choosing to surrender to him. That when people look at your life, they're not like, oh, I would have no idea you're a Christian. Yeah? And again, not because you're up there preaching all the time, but because of how you treat and how you live. How you treat people, how we live. I was in the book of James this morning, not just because it's the same name as me. You know? Man, it's incredible. James 3 and 4 into verse 5, it really speaks about the desires of our heart. Because, you know, one of the most frustrating things for us is when we are not getting our own way. Even as followers of Jesus, right? We have our different goals, we have our plans, the way we want life to be, and there's nothing more frustrating than having that blocked. That what you think is supposed to come about, not coming about in your timing or the way that you want it to. That's frustrating. Yeah? It's interesting, and one of the, they say that one of the things about depression is actually, misaligned goals. where people get depressed because, you know, what they think life should be isn't what it is. It's not surprising that there's this massive rise of anxiety and depression in a social media age, where young people, you know, they actually do a correlation of this, right? Where with the advent of social media, the huge increase in depression and anxiety. Why? Because people are constantly presented a fake picture of others. Right? We're constantly presented with the best image of, well, why am I not this? Why am I not that? It's like our goals can't get met. And we're presented with unrealistic pictures of life. And then we go, but how do I live that? And we can't live it. And so we get anxious and depressed. Because our goal isn't aligned with reality. Or our goal, as is presented to us, is unattainable. It's unattainable. And so, I mean, in the book of James, he writes about this in James 4. I'm going to read it from the Message version. It says, where do you think all these, I'm reading James 4, verse 1. Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourselves. You lust for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours and will risk violence to get it, your hands on it. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know that what you're asking for, you actually have no right to. James gets pretty intense here. You spoiled children, each wanting your own way. And it says you're cheating on God if all you want is your own way. Flirting with the world every chance you get. You end up enemies of God and his way. And do you not suppose that God doesn't care? The proverb has it that he is a fiercely jealous lover. And what he gives in love is far better than anything else you will find. It's common knowledge that God goes against the willfully proud, but gives grace to the willingly humble. So let God work his will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him make himself scarce. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom. Cry your eyes out. And then the fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. Don't badmouth each other, friends. It's God's word, his message, his royal rule, that you take a beating in that kind of talk. That takes a beating in that kind of talk. You're supposed to be honoring the message, not writing graffiti all over it. God is in charge of deciding human destiny. Who do you think you are to meddle in the destiny of others? And strong words from a loving father spoken through James. Strong words from a loving father. He loves you. You say, well, does that sound loving? Well, it's a loving father the same way that if you had a child and they're in rebellion, you're going to be like, hey, you fighting to get your own way is not going to go so well for you. It's not going to go well. These are things we teach little children, right? We teach them to respond to no, that they have to handle the word no in their life. We have to teach them that. Otherwise, as they get older and older, they just become more and more rebellious. I think it was James Dobson that wrote, it's like, if you don't master this in your kids by the time they're 7, you're going to have a real difficult time with them when they're a teenager. And the reality is that sometimes as adults, we just can't handle that word no. God trains us. God is training us in righteousness. You know, when I say talk about the abundant life that God has for you, it isn't that God has for you whatever you want. It's that if we'll surrender to his ways, if we'll actually do things his way, then then we will experience the abundant life that he has. It may not look like the world says is an abundant life. It may not have all the trappings and the blessings that the world would say is most important. I mean, so many Psalms are written about this, right? The writers of the Psalms going, why is it that the wicked are prospering? You know, they're looking at, you know, the prosperity. We can look at the world today, right? Why is it that so many people are oppressed by wicked people that are, you know, wicked leaders of countries that are stealing billions and billions of dollars from their economy, you know, and they're prospering. And so many are suffering. Why is that? Again, because the reality is that the prince of this world is Satan. But he's got limits, in that his limit ends in our death. You know, his when I say he's got limits, you don't get eternal life by following Satan. And the kingdom is actually meant to come in this world. If God's people would actually rise up, if we, the more people that actually follow Jesus, the less power those people have. The more of us that say yes to God and do things his way, the more power that comes for those that follow Jesus. Right? The more power in this world. Imagine a country where there is, you know, it's reversed. 90% of the people have surrendered to and are following Jesus, not just saying they're Christian, because there's a big difference between going with a label of Christian and actually living as a follower and disciple of Jesus. So imagine that that's reversed. You got 90% of the people that are following Jesus and only 10% that are not. Well, that's a very different place. That's a very different world. I don't know if we'll achieve that. But it's why we have the vision that we do here at Lifehouse, of saying, hey, in the next, by 2032, we want to reach 1 million people for Jesus. Because, you know, that stat would bring us to a place where about 10%, just over 10% of the people in the GTA, you know, could be following Jesus. Man, it's a lot better than 3. And the change that happens with that is amazing. Change that happens. Jesus didn't say, sit tight and wait for my return. Eventually I'll come back and then everything will be better. Hide yourself away and just wait for me to come back. He said, go and make disciples of the nations. Be the salt and the light to the world. We are the salt and the light by how we live, by us allowing God to align our priorities with his priorities, with us living for him, with us experiencing. We experience, part of that abundant life is really understanding the love he has for us actually being completely secure in his love. Completely secure. You know, anxiety, depression, it goes away when we understand the love of God. When we know that he actually has the best for us, that he cares about us and he loves us. Man, you can stand up against so much more when you know that. And that's what he has for you. He loves you. Even if right now you're walking in a place of compromise, he loves you. And he's like, hey, my child, I want to see you live abundant life. I'm not rejecting you, but that way is not going to work. Please, I love you. Come back. Do things my way. If you're here this morning, maybe your friend dragged you or your parent dragged you here this morning, like, you know, and you reluctantly came, and you're not actually a follower of Jesus. Well, I want to tell you, he loves you. He loves you. And he wants a relationship with you. Right now, you don't have one with him. But he did die for you, and he wants you to experience that abundant life. He wants you to experience that abundant life. He cares about you so much, and he wants you to, he really, whatever you're going through at this moment in time, it is not more than he can handle. You know, whatever's happening in your life, it's not more than he can handle. And maybe you're like, actually, my life is pretty good. Okay, that's great. The one thing you can't do for yourself is have eternal life. The reality is the only way, you know, for us to spend an eternity with God is through our accepting that free gift of God's grace and salvation through Jesus, us putting our faith in Jesus. There's no other way. Without that, we are spiritually dead. We are cut off from Christ. And so if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you've never given your life to Jesus, then you are spiritually dead. You know, what I'm saying to you is only going to penetrate to a certain point. But there's so much more for you. I had the privilege of leading someone to Jesus earlier this week and talking to them about the fact that they were spiritually dead and praying with them. As I prayed for them and prayed with them, you know, suddenly they were just bubbling with joy. You know, and this thing, and I'm like, are you okay? I actually was wondering, oh no, are they like mocking this, or are they, where are they? And they're like, no, there's just something inside me, and I feel so happy. And that's the reality of us becoming spiritually alive. You know, that there actually is a transformation that takes place inside of us. There's something that was dead that becomes alive when we truly surrender to Jesus, and he has that for each and every one of us. And for those of us that know him, the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you're living in life of compromise, you are probably not experiencing his joy. Have I got to switch the mics? Okay. There we go. Is that better? Okay. If you're living in a life of compromise, you're not experiencing his joy. And so I just invite you to return to him so that you would live in the fullness of joy that he has for you, because he loves you. For the next 8 weeks, we're going to talk about the reality of how we are to live so that we can experience that joy, that we can live in the fullness of the abundant life. Again, if your definition of the abundant life is God's going to give you a mansion and a Bugatti, that's not what we're talking about. Yeah, it's not what we're talking about. No private jets, I'm not promising those or anything along those lines. You know, I won't ask you to hold up the money in your wallet and tell you that God's going to multiply it 100 times. But I will tell you about the absolute joy that comes with following Jesus, you know, and the incredible life that he's got for each and every one of us to live in, and how much he wants to pour in and out and through you, you know, what he wants to do. And yes, he wants you to live a life that is blessed. He doesn't want you to live in poverty. He doesn't want those things. But it's our defining our abundant life in him changes everything. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Let's just pause for a minute. I'm just going to ask you to stand. Awesome. Holy Spirit, as Ashish did during her worship, we invite you to have your way. Scripture tells us in John that you are our teacher, you are our counselor, you are our guide, and that you're empowering us. You're empowering us to walk in righteousness. You're empowering us to live the life that God has for us. Jesus himself said that through your power working through us, we will do even greater things than Jesus. Just let him minister to you right now, where you are. That abundant life, you're to do even greater things than Jesus. Do you believe that for yourself? Because one of the lies that we believe is there's just a few anointed people that are meant to live like that. But that's not what Jesus said. He said that when my Holy Spirit comes, and that Holy Spirit's already been poured out at Pentecost. It's not something we're waiting for. It's something you already have. And you either believe that or you don't.
And so I invite you to allow faith to grow in you for that, that spirit inside you that's empowering you for righteousness is going to allow you to do even greater things than Jesus did. As we read, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So we want to humble ourselves before you this morning, Jesus. Speak to us. If there's areas in our life that you want to address with us, if you need prayer ministry for anything today, please, there'll be people up here to pray for you. And so I would invite you, if there's something that God's speaking to you about, or you came in today going, I just need prayer on this, I need someone to stand with me on this, don't walk away. Come up to the front. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, come up to the front, tell us, we'll pray with you. We'll lead you into a relationship with Jesus. And if that's not either anyone, or if that's not you today, then please enjoy each other. There'll be coffee, snacks in the back. If you're new here today, please come to our welcome lunch in the staff room afterwards. It'd be great to have you there. But just go about your week this week knowing that you are absolutely loved by God, and allow Him to keep working in and through you. Amen? Amen.